Hello everyone. Welcome to Ask Margot, our Access Radio Dear Abby or Agony Aunt show, where you ask the questions about life and I help with the answers. I introduce myself each episode and I cover something different each time so it doesn't make it too repetitive for you. I'm Margot de Coatsworth. And I guess one of my biggest quests in life is wanting to know why. Why things happen or don't happen. Why we get the results we do get from the things that we say or do. How our attitudes and the words we use affect the outcomes we get. How the story we tell about ourselves and to ourselves creates the life we have. People say that if you look at what you thought yesterday, you will see why you are where you are today. That can be a bit alarming. Then, of course, you'll see why today is where you're going to be tomorrow. And that's a big realization, to understand that if we look at our lives, we're not always that happy about what we see. We can't understand how we could be in such a situation. But if thoughts do indeed become things, and if we have any power of choice in our lives, this is actually a good thing. Because once we realize we have a hand in all of this, we can be a bit more careful and a bit more deliberate and begin to make better choices that will then create a better outcome and a better future for us. It's so interesting that we've been led to believe that our conscious mind is in charge of everything. But in fact, that conscious part of our mind is just the bit of the iceberg that's visible at the top. And the real substance of the iceberg is underneath, just as our subconscious is. Once we realize that our subconscious is running the show, the paradigms we work within, our reactions, our beliefs, our limitations, and our fears, we can step in and reprogram it for what we actually want and not what's ended up there by default. That's good news, and it's pretty exciting. We can turn our lives around by requiring something different from our subconscious. As a hypnotherapist, that's what I help people with. People say our minds are very complex, but actually what we want is kind of simple. We want to be appreciated and loved, and we want to appreciate and love ourselves. We want to live without fear ruling our lives, fear of lack, fear of loss, fear of all those things that keep us, what I call feeling small. We're not supposed to live like that. So that's my big quest in life, I guess. But let's get to our questions for today. Don't forget, if you have questions about life, health, relationships, or lack thereof, please do write to us at admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz or to me at margounlimited.com under the contact tab, Margot with a T. Also, if you have any feedback for us, let us know what you think because we really love hearing from you. So our first question today is about rudeness and how to handle someone whose behaviour you find to be unacceptable. This is a question from Mark. He says he has people in his life who don't reply to him, don't return things they've borrowed, are rude about things he says and does, and are disparaging towards him even in front of mutual friends. He wants to know how to handle such a person. Well, here are some things you could consider, Mark. You could have an open conversation with the person involved. Sometimes people may not be aware of the impact of their behaviour. Calmly express how their actions make you feel. If their behaviour, though, is well established, they may not be aware, they may be desensitized to its effect. So you can have that conversation with them. It's important that you set boundaries for what's acceptable behavior for you. It really doesn't matter how, this is not about him and other people. This is about you. If someone consistently crosses boundaries, you can tell them. Just be clear and not accusatory or inflammatory, because then their defences go up before they've even had time to consider what you're saying. You just say, that doesn't work for me, or I can't go there with you. Choose your battles. Not every rude or inconsiderate action requires a confrontation. Evaluate the situation and decide when it's necessary to address the behaviour and when it's better to just let that one go. Surround yourself with positive influences. Focus on relationships with people who treat you with respect and kindness. Sometimes distancing yourself from negative influences is the most effective solution. It's something we just have to bite the bullet and do for ourselves, because maintaining a relationship with someone who consistently disrespects you may do you more harm than good. Remember, your state of being has to come first, Mark. I've been thinking a lot about energy recently, and that we are energetic beings. I have someone in my life whose influence is not always positive, and I've wondered how I'll deal with that. I do think if you no longer have mutual ground where you resonate, then people can kind of drift out of your sphere, because there's no energetic resonance, no crossover point, meaning that there's no common ground really. I think we hold ourselves back from growing and flourishing often because we don't move away from the things that hold us back. We need to have our antennae up to be aware. If you see that's happening in your life, don't switch into your automatic past role. I know I've done that in the past. So we just need to step into a new place, wish that person well, and let them go. Don't chase after them. I hope some of those things will help you to handle that situation, Mark. Just remember who you want to be and make everything else work around that. And our second question today is from Lara. She wants to know how to streamline her life, to simplify it so that she is focusing only what's important. She says, quote, "I feel like I have no real clarity and that I'm often doing things that aren't really important to me. I feel like I'm not really on track, and I just want to be doing what matters to me and not filling up my life with stuff that just doesn't mean anything to me. Help, please." Well, we can probably all relate to that. I think the first thing to do is to define your priorities. Identify the key areas of your life that matter the most to you. This could include personal relationships, career, health, and your own development. Just write down what you really care about and what you really want. Then prioritize those. I recommend you start with things you feel strongly about first and then move into the more practical things, because we're led by our feelings, not our heads, or what we want before what we think we should do. The next thing you can do is to simplify your physical environment by decluttering. A tidy and organized space can have a positive impact on your mental well-being and help you to see clearly. Even people who live in a mess would say they're happier if they are somewhere tidy. Some just find that more of a challenge than others. The next thing is time management. Evaluate how you spend your time. Identify everything that doesn't align with your priorities, and consider whether they can be minimized or eliminated. Talk to yourself in a better way about time. Instead of saying, there isn't enough time, tell yourself a better story and say, I always have plenty of time for everything I need to do. If this sounds too impossible, I always suggest people make a game of it so as to keep you in a buoyant state. Exaggeration works here. Say, I have plenty of time so that at the end of the day, I can just relax while my family wait on me hand and foot. Now, that may be going too far, but you see how it changes your energy. It keeps it light, it makes you smile, and it helps you to pull yourself out of a place you've been stuck in and into the place you want to be, which is really in control. Learn to say no. It's important to set boundaries and to learn to say no to activities or commitments that don't align with your priorities. This allows you to focus on what truly matters. Practice saying no. No, I don't think so. No, I'm not available then. No, sorry. I have commitments. And these commitments may just well be only to you, your commitments to yourself. The other thing is to what I call do a bit of Zen. Take time to meditate. It helps bring clarity and focus to your mind. It also reduces stress. I have a little ebook I've written on meditation, just a kind of how to and why meditation is such a good thing. Write to me if you'd like it at margo@margounlimited.com and I'll send it to you. Make sure you're in control of the time you spend on your phone, computer, or movie watching. Make the choice for you about how much time is okay for these things and then hold yourself to it. No one can do that but you. It's your job. I have nothing playing when I'm driving. I know music is great, but consider using some completely silent time to allow yourself to think. It can be quite creative and very meditative. Might be in the shower, in the bath, in the car, while you're walking. Consider not having anything feeding into your mind that's outside of you and see how that helps to ground you, to center you, and to help you to think with more clarity. This is one of my favorite ones next, and it is about delegation. If possible, delegate tasks that are not aligned with your priorities, the things you worked out in the beginning. That's my dream, to delegate. As Tony Robbins says, anything someone else can do better, faster, or instead of you. Well, that's quite a big ask. And you may be paying quite a number of people quite a lot of money to do that completely. But delegating can free up time for activities that bring you joy and satisfaction. Everyone in your household needs to do their bit, and you need to require that of them. The last thing is gratitude. Acknowledging and appreciating all the good things in your life can bring clarity on what truly matters. They say that gratitude attracts more of what you're grateful for. Remember that this journey to streamline your life is a continuous process. We all have to do it all the time. As you determine to find the way forward, it will lead you to a more meaningful path. Ask yourself two questions every time something pops up that bothers you. Does this thing bring me joy? Thank you, Marie Kondo, for that one. And it can't just be about things like doing the dishes. Put some music on, do the dishes, unless you've cleverly delegated that one, of course. The other thing is this in alignment with who I am? You have your list of things that are important to you and that give meaning to your life. That may even involve doing the dishes, as that may be the way you care for your family, and that will be very important to you. It's quite a fun thing to create two personas for yourself. One who is not feeling very focused, and the powerful you who sees things clearly. So you can ask yourself, what would the ideal version of Lara choose? It's actually great having conversations with yourself. We all have an innate wisdom, and we can learn to tap into that. Thank you for your question, Lara. I hope some of that will be of help to you. Our next question today is about a romantic relationship that has gone wrong. Sue is in a constant state of aggro with her former husband. She can't seem to find any harmony in her dealings with him. He often lets their children down by not following through and meeting his commitments. It's become a constant source of stress for her, and she wants to change that, as it's no good for her and it's no good for her children. Her former husband is now in a new relationship, and he's been putting that ahead of his children and his time spent with them. She wants to know how to improve things, and especially how she can stop feeling so resentful and angry all the time. Dealing with constant conflict and resentment in a relationship can be incredibly challenging, especially when there are children involved. Here are my suggestions, Sue. The first one is communication. Be as honest and open as possible. Don't allow yourself to make any loaded comments. Always be aware of how what you say is going to land at the other end. and don't enter into arguments. Just say, that's not how I see it. But don't add fuel that will fire up an argument. Make that a rule for yourself. Talk about your former husband as you want him to be and not as he has been. Say good things, or at least not bad, in front of your children, others, and to your ex. Children love their parents, and their natural response is to defend them. Don't give them a cause to have to defend their father. Just be neutral if you can't be positive. Doing that alone will change the energy around what you're dealing with. Next is to set clear expectations. Clearly define expectations and commitments regarding the children and his responsibilities. I always think it's a great thing to put it in writing so no one forgets. Maybe a shared calendar with reminders popping up. Establishing a shared parenting plan that outlines responsibilities and time commitments can help to avoid misunderstandings. Should your former husband's partner be involved? You may be surprised how supportive she might be. Just focus on the present and not the past, and that will help you deal with these situations. Include clearly defining any behaviour that's not acceptable and make sure this is in your shared plan. You don't have to say, don't do that thing you do. You can say, it would be really helpful if I could rely on you to do this for your children. Do you feel the difference? Attacking will cause someone to go straight into defense mode, and it won't be achieving anything. The second approach will help them to see he can be a stand-up chap by supporting his children. So, try to work towards forgiveness, not for your former husband's sake, but for your own. Letting go of resentment can be a gradual process, but it's essential for you to heal the past and to make sure you're open to a new and happy future. You have to do it. Holding a viciousness against a former mate is a clear barrier to finding a prospective new one. They'll spot that in you and not want a bar of it. Try to be as generous-spirited to him as possible and as generous to you. Sometimes we don't have the full picture of someone before we marry them. Sometimes we don't try hard enough to find a way through difficulties. Sometimes someone is not a true match and should just be set free to find a partner who's a better fit. If someone is not with you, whether your choice or theirs, then they are not the right person for you. So, don't focus on him, focus on you. That's where change will come about. Let me know how you go. Our last question today is from Alan. He has money worries and really wants to get on top of his debt and really just have a more confident attitude towards money. He says, I'm always worried that even if I have money, it's just going to slip through my fingers. It always has, and it's made me believe that I'm just bad with money, and that makes me kind of fearful that I'll always be chasing my tail. I'd like to have enough and not to worry that I'll run out. I want to be able to relax about having enough money to live without that worry. Please, can you help me with this one? Let's start with the practical things, Alan, like. You could start by creating a detailed budget that outlines all the sources of income and all your expenses. Knowing where money is coming from and where it's going is a crucial first step. Knowledge is power. Once you know what your living requirements are, you're in a place of control. You could establish an emergency fund, although it may be said that you are therefore expecting an emergency. I prefer to call it an opportunity fund. Can you feel the difference in that? An emergency fund makes you feel subject to things that may go wrong. An opportunity fund makes you feel that the options are yours. That's great for your mindset. All that is settling into your amazing subconscious mind and becoming a part of your programming. Do you see? Either your subconscious allowing for things to go wrong, or it's allowing for opportunities. If there's debt, create a plan for repayment. Focus on high interest debts first while making minimum payments on others. This can help reduce overall interest payments. Set this up automatically as it signals to your conscious mind and your subconscious mind that you are determined to clear the debt and be in control of your finances. It's good to establish short and long-term financial goals. These could include saving for a specific purchase, or paying off a debt, or going on a holiday. Goals provide direction and motivation. They can be fun, and you will be pleased with yourself as you see your progress. Give yourself timelines for your goals. The next thing is to set up automatic transfers to a savings account. This set and forget plan is a good one. You'll check in later, not thinking about it in the meantime, and see the cumulative effect of your efforts. The last practical thing to do is not to live above your means. Adopt a lifestyle where expenses are comfortably below your income. This creates room for movement and acts as a buffer against anything unexpected, or as we now say, opportunities. It may sound unappealing to live within your means, but frankly, nothing is as unappealing as dealing with the consequences of not doing so. Alan, the most important thing that underpins your action is your attitude to money. What's your go-to saying about money? Do you say money doesn't grow on trees? Do you declare that you don't have enough? Stop that immediately. Don't use words like filthy rich. We think it's funny, but it's actually not. It's reinforcing an erroneous subconscious belief. Money is not filthy. Money is just a tool. It's completely neutral, like electricity. We are the ones who decide if we'll use it for good or not. If you talk disparagingly about people who have money, you may be certain that you will not be rich. No rich person despises money. Good people do good things with all the opportunities that money affords. Bad people don't. I see money as an intensifier. It will allow good to do more good, and it will equally allow bad to be selfish in all those other things that we seem too ready to spot in some wealthy people. Alan, you must begin to tell yourself that you're good with money, that it's your friend, that it sticks to you like glue, even though you give, even though you spend, more always comes. Remember, money is not designed to stagnate. Think about, say, a $100 note. If you pay $100 to someone who does a job for you, say, a plumber, you pay him, he buys food for his family, he's feeding his children, who then go to school, and this contributes to the teacher's salary. The teacher pays her mortgage, and the mortgage pays the teller. The teller buys a jacket for her husband, who gets a jacket, plus the shopkeeper gets the $100 for selling the jacket. He gives this $100 to his wife, who happens to be your friend, and she spends all of it on you, taking you out to dinner and buying you flowers for your birthday. I know I got a bit carried away there, but do you see what I mean? Money is a powerful tool for doing good. It spreads itself all over the place. It needs to move and do good, not stagnate. So, Alan, write down your past story about money and have a good hard look at where your attitudes and beliefs have been. Then write your new story and make sure you stay consistent with that story. And that will be the beginning of change about the money story you have. So those are our questions for today. I hope you might find some gems in there that you can try in your own life. Today we have talked about both practical solutions and what I call energetic answers, because there is energy in and behind everything. If you're confronted with something unwanted, try and see beyond the obvious and ask yourself what the energy is behind it. Anger, for example, is usually coming from hurt. Neediness comes from not feeling enough. What shows up in our bodies is a result of something, stress, for example. Try to look behind and underneath what shows up, and you'll discover that you can work out often what you need to do to change it. As usual, we'll finish today with our message from the universe, or God, which I call the Word. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Here's our universal message. In all things, you are supported and encouraged and guided. When you feel cut off and alone, that is an illusion. Life itself is an illusion in a way, but your connection to me is totally and absolutely real. Hook into the reality of that, and you will see that it is, in fact, the only thing that matters. See that the universe is smiling at you all the time, not just sometimes, but at every moment of every day. That's very encouraging, supportive, and that is the route to guidance. Follow the smiles. They lead to happiness. Thank you so much. See you next time.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.